Psalm 103 tonight. Psalm 103. Give you a little update on Teresa, or Tewi, whichever a name that you remember her by. She's not doing well today. I talked to Bruce earlier this afternoon, and she was planning on coming tonight. She was going to try to make it and at least try to be in one service, but she's very weak this evening. So if you would, I'm going to pray for her in a second, but if you would keep her in your prayers, if you would keep Bruce in your prayers as well. No doubt this is difficult for him as well. So I know on Sunday I asked you guys, you know, I had mentioned that she had two miniature Dachshunds that she needed to find a home for. They were born in August. Well, she found a home, and so she is thankful and grateful that somebody in her family was able to take those two. That was something that was upon her heart because they were kind of her babies, so that was good that someone was able to do that. But in Psalm 103, in fact, before I even read this, let's just go ahead and pray, all right? Father, we do thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and how great you are and the fact that we can come and give thanks to you. Father, I do ask for Teresa, Lord, this evening that, Father, you would just touch her body and, Lord, that you would be with her. I know she's very weak and, Lord, obviously the cancer throughout her body. And I pray, Father, that you would just allow your peace to abide with her as I know it is. Father, just allow her to feel your presence, Lord, in her room and in her home tonight. I pray, Father, you'd help Bruce as well just to feel, Lord, your peace and your presence there. Lord, give him the grace, Lord, as he goes through this difficult time in his life. But, Father, he knows he'll see Teresa again one day. And, Father, we don't know. Lord, right now, Lord, you could give her another year. But, Father, at the same time, we do know, Father, that, Lord, everything is in your hands. And, Lord, we just pray for your grace. We pray for your peace at this time. I thank you, Father, for answering prayer for Teresa and allowing her puppies to find a home. Lord, I know to some that may not be a big deal, but it was a big deal to her, and we thank you for it. And, Father, we ask that, Lord, the best that we can, that you'd help us to continue to be a blessing to them, and, Lord, as much as we can. And I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, just show yourself mighty. I pray if someone in her family, Lord, friends, anyone that knows her, Father, that do not know Christ as her Savior, Lord, they would just see her testimony. They would see Christ. Father, you draw them unto her, or draw them unto you, Lord, during this time. And I pray, Father, you'd use it, Lord, to just remind really all your people that life is fragile. Life is but a vapor. But, Father, you do love each and every one of us. You love each and every one of your children. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time this evening, Lord, as we open up the Word of God, as we look at several verses tonight, Lord, just things that we can be thankful for, things that we can be grateful for, things we can praise you for. And obviously, Father, you are looking, Lord, for us to praise you each and every day and to thank you for all the things that you've give to us, Lord, whether it's physical, spiritual, Lord, even just emotional, Lord, giving us a sound mind, Lord, helping us, Lord, to understand we don't have the spirit of fear. You haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I thank you, Father, that you do. In all stages of life, Father, every moment of a Christian's life, Lord, you're there, and you have the ultimate peace and comfort, Lord, that we need, and we thank you for it. Father, please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 103, I want to read verses 1 through 12. And the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Just in those 12 verses, there are many, many things to be thankful for. I mean, just the goodness of the Lord, the grace of God, his mercy, his love, and just the fact that we should bless the Lord for all the things he bestows upon us. And because we know, according to James, every good gift comes down from the Father of lights. Because in James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And again, we're in the Thanksgiving season. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. There'll be meals that are cooked. There'll be fellowships with family. It'll be a good day tomorrow, and we're thankful for the time that we can have with family and with friends and just to be able to have a nice Thanksgiving meal. But there are many things to be thankful for. Tonight, I want to kind of go through the two words, give thanks, and use each letter to look at things that we can be thankful for, and we'll look at some different verses. But never forget that every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, comes down from our Heavenly Father. Everything that he gives us, and we are thankful for salvation. We're thankful for his word. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit of God that he's given unto us to guide us through this life. We're thankful that the word of God is the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. We are thankful that he is our shield. He's our buckler. He's our high tower. He is our God. He's our redeemer. And we are thankful that he loves us and his grace is sufficient for us. His grace helps us through the moments of life that we could not on our own weather. But tonight I want us to think about these words, the first being grace. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 in a minute. Or we won't go there. I'll just kind of read that. But when you think about grace in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, I know that Christmas is right around the corner. Presents will be given. And obviously the greatest gift has been given to mankind, and that is Jesus Christ. That is his payment on the cross, his sacrifice on the cross for us, that he would die in our place for a sin debt that was not his, but that was ours, and he was willing to pay the price, not for his sins, but for ours, and we are thankful for that. Again, when you think about grace, every good thing in our lives is because of the grace of God. And even Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when he had that thorn in the flesh, I mean, that just seems something that comes up quite often that I think about and I mention, is just the fact that, you know what, God's grace is sufficient. When we think we can't bear it any longer, when we think that we just can't make it another day, when we just think life is too hard, the trial is too difficult, we're reminded by the Holy Spirit of God that his grace is sufficient. His grace gives us the strength, gives us the comfort to be able to endure what God has allowed in our life. So we're thankful for the grace of God, and we can thank the Lord for his grace for salvation, but also the grace to live this Christian life that he's given us. And I'm thankful that every day is not a hard day. I'm thankful that there's not a trial every moment of life. I'm glad that God's grace gives us those days and those moments and times that we can have with family and friends and even with a church family on a Wednesday night. His grace is sufficient and his grace is wonderful. Look at Psalm 32, if you would. Psalm 32, because as we move to the letter I, we think about instruction. Instruction from the Word of God. And in Psalm 32 and verse number 8, Psalm 32 and verse number 8. The Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. It's one verse. The Lord says, I will. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee
with mine eye. We can be thankful tonight that the Lord does guide the steps of a good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, that the Lord does guide our steps. Again, even when we're not quite sure which way to go, when we sometimes in life when we meet that fork in the road and we're not sure left or right, and we try to figure it out, but then as we listen to the voice of God and the soft, still voice behind us says, "This is the way which ye shall walk, and walk in this way." And we're thankful that the Lord guides our steps. We're thankful that he gives us that instruction that we need. And again, we're thankful that he allows us to even hear his voice. I can remember not being saved, not being a child of God, and not hearing the voice of God. But what a wonderful day it was and has been when I heard the voice of God and you heard the voice of God guiding your life. Because again, before salvation, wandering in the darkness, not knowing where we're going, not knowing where we're headed, not knowing what life is all about. But then we met the Lord by the grace of God, and he starts instructing us. And we find out, again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if someone's been saved for 50 years or 5 years or just a few months. The grace of God is sufficient, and the love of God is wonderful, and he instructs us. There's not a single person that is really has come to a place of sinless perfection or has come to a place where God can't work on them anymore. God works on us until the day we see him face to face. And he instructs us, obviously, through his word. And that's letter V, the verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If you go on to verse 17, right? So that the man of God can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, just the fact that we can be thankful. You know, sometimes I kid around with the kids, you know, and we ask them what they're thankful for. And again, you have the little ones say, you know, Jesus, the Bible, you know, and that's very important. Now, as adults, you know, those things are important, and there are more things that we're thankful for. Thankful that, you know what, I haven't gotten sick again to where I was bedridden for a whole month. You know, that was last year, and I'm glad this year you know, no sickness whatsoever. Nothing has held me back from being able to do the things that God wants me to do and to provide for the family. But again, the fact that, you know what, we can be thankful because the verses of Scripture, God's Word, is very important. I don't know where I would be without the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says that his Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I mean, it's not just blind religion, but it's a relationship with Christ. It's his word, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we're thankful tonight. We give thanks because of the word of God, because of the verses that speak to us. Aren't you glad that when you read your Bible, there are certain verses that God just has kind of jump off at the page and just catch your attention, that you can just think about and be thankful for? I mean, that's God speaking to us through his word. And again, sometimes I would love to hear an audible voice saying, Troy, don't do that, do this. Nope, don't take that job position, take that. I mean, I would love it if God just, okay, thank you, you know, but then that's not faith. I wouldn't be seeking his written word. And in the written word, he does guide us. And there are times, again, where even today as I sat in my office and was reading through the Psalms, and God was just speaking to my heart about different things. And I'm so thankful that I can hear the voice of God. But we have to be careful, because if the Bible does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I want to hear his voice, but also I want him to hear me when I call out to him. I don't want him to turn a deaf ear to me because I have unforgiveness in my heart, or I have bitterness in my heart, or I'm upset about something and I'm letting that fester in my heart. I'm glad that the word of God does exactly what it's supposed to do. It cuts to the heart. It really does. It works on us. It helps us to see the truth that God wants us to see at every given moment of our life. And again, because of the scriptures, we know that we have eternal life. I want you to look at Titus chapter 1. As we look at the letter E for eternal life, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." Before the world began. Some want to believe that on the Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus went up and all his glory was shown, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and there's James, John, and Peter, and you know, Peter said, "You know, it's good for us to be here. Lord, shall we make, you know, shall we build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah?" Now, some believe that that was the moment that Jesus and God had to change their plans because he was rejected by the people. And it's at that moment that they decide, you know what, you've got to go to the cross. No, before the world was even created, before even man was created out of the dust of the earth, God already had this plan because God is sovereign. God knows everything. He knew Adam and Eve would sin. And some may even say, well, you know, why did God create Adam and Eve then if he knew they would sin? So that he could show his grace, so he could show his love, so he could show his mercy to mankind. Again, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Again, I'm glad that we do have the gift of salvation. I'm glad the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad we can be thankful for that. Again, like I said just a moment ago, it doesn't matter if someone's been saved 50 years, 5 years, or just a few months. We should never, never forget to be thankful for the gift of salvation that God's given us, because we didn't do anything to earn it. Now, sometimes I do give things to my kids because they earn it. Sometimes we just give things to the kids because we love them. And sometimes we give things to them because they ask for it. But I'm glad that nothing, we didn't do anything to earn God's gift of salvation. But because of his love, he gave it to us. And we can be thankful that the fact, not only do I have the gift of salvation, but it cannot be taken away from me. Look at, you know what, look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I've said it before, not recently. I've said it before, you know what? If God doesn't do another good thing for us, he's already done too much. I mean, the gift of salvation, that is something tremendous. I mean, think about the Israelites in the wilderness, thirsty as all get out. I mean, they're just thirsty. They're complaining, they're murmuring to Moses, and God has Moses go up to this rock, and this rock gushes out water for all the Israelites to drink. I mean, just think about all the miracles that you read in the Bible. The fact that God turned the waters into blood in Egypt, God caused the locusts to come, he caused the flies to come, he caused the frogs to come, the hailstorm, all the things that God did in Egypt before bringing his people out. Then he feeds them with manna in the wilderness. He gives them drink. I mean, water out of a rock. And yet the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. That's the greatest miracle. I mean, that's something that we should never get over. That's something that every day we should be ecstatic about, happy about, thankful for. Because without the gift of salvation, we don't have anything else. In John chapter 10, look at verse 11. Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep." And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again.
No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself.
Those Roman soldiers didn't take his life. He willingly laid it down. Now, if you've ever seen some movie of the crucifixion, and you
see just, you know, how they mistreat, you know, the character that's playing Jesus. I mean, think, yeah, he was mistreated. I mean, think about the Bible describes the fact that his beard was ripped out, the fact that he was, by the time he got to the cross, he was unrecognizable just because of how they tortured him. And then they nail him to the cross, but the fact that Jesus willingly did that, because we have to think that Jesus could have called down thousands of angels to deliver him. He himself could have just walked away. Because you remember, there's a time when they tried, when he was in a city, and they tried to kill him. They were going to take him and throw him headlong off of a cliff, and yet the Bible says that he escaped out of their hands. I mean, he just kind of disappeared. He walked right past them all. What I'm saying is that our Lord willingly laid down his life so that you and I could have the gift of salvation. I mean, it was not something just simple as going to the store and buying a gift and wrapping it and giving it to somebody, but the fact that with his own blood, he purchased us. I mean, think about, meditate often on your gift of salvation that God's given you and how it may not have cost us anything, but it cost him everything. It cost him. And yet, he gives us so much. He gives us eternal life. He gives us his grace every day to help us through this life. And he lavishes us with his love. He speaks to us through his word. And through his word, we see truth. And that's the letter T in thanks, truth. In John 14 and verse 6, you're in John 10. Go forward to John 14. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In fact, we can be thankful that we do have truth, that we're not following a lie, but we're following the true living God. We're following the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad that the Lord never lies to us. I'm glad there's no contradiction with God. Man will lie. Man will contradict himself often, but I'm glad that we have a Savior and a Lord and God that never contradicts himself because he is truth. And I'm glad, as Jesus said in John 17:17, that his word was truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Again, with the word of God being true, we know we have a true light that guides us. We know that we have a true relationship with the Lord. We don't have to hope that we make it. In fact, recently when I talked to somebody about salvation and asked them, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they said, I hope so. And I said, well, wouldn't you like to know so? And took them to 1 John. And I want you to go to 1 John chapter 5. Because again, I'm glad that we serve a God and we follow a God that leads us in the truth. Remember, Jesus said it was expedient for him to depart so the Comforter could come, so the Holy Spirit could come, who would guide us into all truth. And I'm glad that we are guided by truth, and I'm glad the Word of God gives us the promises, gives us the assurance that we need. Because there are times where we need to know that God still loves us. You may not struggle with this, but there are those that struggle with why does God still love them? Because they mess up. They think in their mind, because of lies, because of the way that they're treated by this world, that, you know what, God must be just like this world and he doesn't love me. And you know, if I say something, God's not going to listen to me. And it's sad when somebody has that mindset about God, because God's not a man. God is not like an earthly father. God is perfect. God is holy. God is loving, gracious, and he bestows his blessings upon us and upon his children. If someone is a child of God,
No doubt the devil wants to get into that mind and distort the thinking of a child of God. Because let me think about this, even before I read this. You know what, when a child is scared at night, when there's lightning and thunder and it's dark in the room and the child thinks they see something that's not there, in their mind they think something's there until mom or dad comes in the room, flips on the light, and shows them there's nothing there. In 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 13. Again, just having the truth of God's word and being guided by his truth. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. The fact that God says in his word, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Every single person that believes on the name of Jesus Christ has the promise from God that they have eternal life and that ye may believe on the Son of God. Again, when you think about how the devil wants to, as Jesus even said back in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, how he wants to steal our hope, he wants to steal our joy, he wants to steal our faith in God's word, and we cannot allow him to do that. We have to rest and rely upon the help of the Lord. Look at Psalm 46 in regards to help, the letter H, in thanks. In Psalm 46, Psalm 46. Just like a child, again, I can think of myself when I was a little boy. Sometimes there'd be times where I would get scared in the night, and because I'd wake up and your mind plays tricks on you as a little boy, and I'd bury my face under the pillow, and as long as I couldn't see nothing, I was safe and I was fine, because you know what? If I can't see it, it must not be there. I'm just perfectly fine. So I would do that often, because you know. When you stay at a grandparent's house, their house always seems a little creepy. When, at least, you know, the old house. My house isn't creepy, but, you know, but my grandparent's house is a little creepy in the night just because it was an old house and, you know, you hear things as a little boy. But I would hide myself, even though I would be sleeping next to my grandfather, who was a big man, big hands. I mean, he was someone that worked a mule train back in his day. Logging and stuff, and just he did all kinds of different things with his hands, and just I felt safe by him. But man, when your mind got going, it didn't matter who was next to you. Everything was bigger than the, you know, your grandfather, whoever you thought was the biggest thing, and hide myself. But think about Psalm 46:1. You're saying God wants us to hide behind him. God wants us to run to him when there are things that seem to be bothering us, when our mind seems to be plagued with thoughts that are not true. The Bible says in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm glad that God is always a very present help in trouble. You just think about, again, sometimes you feel like, you know, you can't contact somebody because, you know, it's 2:00 in the morning. Yet I'm glad that God is always there, always watching over us, always ready to listen, always ready to help, always ready to meet our need, because he is a very present help in trouble. And that's something we can be thankful for, is that we know that our God is always there and that he will always hear us. He will always come to our rescue. He'll always give us exactly what we need. Again, when I think about just Paul and the thorn in the flesh, the fact that Jesus came to him. He prayed 3 times, but the Lord came to him to help him to understand that God's grace in his life was sufficient, that he was given the grace of God to help him to go through the rest of his life with a thorn in the flesh, because he would be walking in the strength of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Again, thankful that God is always there to help us with life's challenges. In Isaiah 41 verse 10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Something to be thankful for is the Lord is always there to help us. He's always there to lift us up. He's always there to walk with us. He's always there to encourage us. He's always there to give us the grace, the strength that we need, the comfort we need, the joy that we need, the peace that we need. He's always there no matter what it is that we need. We can always turn to him, and he's ready to help. Look with me, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 4. Just a few more letters here, a few more verses. The fact is that according to the word thanks with the letter A, we can be thankful that we have access to the Father. I'm thankful I don't have to go to some man in hopes that he gets my prayers up to the Lord for me. There's nothing wrong, and God does tell us to pray for one another and to help carry each other's burdens at times in prayer. But I'm glad that we can take our prayers straight to the Lord. I'm glad that, you know what, when we need to confess sin, we can go directly to the Lord. We don't have to go to man, because Jesus Christ is the high priest. In Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." I'm glad that he understands. That's why we have the confidence that we can go to him. That's why we have the encouragement that he's not going to turn us away when we come to him, when we're weary and we actually admit to the Lord, "Lord, I'm having a hard time trusting you right now. I'm having a hard time just trusting you in this situation because my mind, my thoughts are going in 100 different directions. What I'm seeing is affecting my heart. But Lord, help me to trust you by faith." I'm glad that he understands. I'm glad that, again, when we mess up and when we struggle, the Lord doesn't just, you know what, when you get things right, you can come talk to me. And I'm glad that he's there. I'm glad he's a present help. I'm glad we have the access to come before his throne. As it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm glad that we don't have to do like the Israelites had to do in the Old Testament before Jesus' sacrifice. I'm glad that we don't have to go to a man and take our offerings and hope that, you know what, he does it right. Because when you go to the Old Testament, if the priest didn't do it the right way, he would end up dead. And many times you think about, there were men that took it upon themselves to go into the tabernacle, as the Bible says, with a censer in their hand, but it was defiled because they didn't have that right and God struck them down dead. I'm glad that you and I can go directly to the Lord without any reservation, without any fear. The fact that God himself tore the veil from top to bottom to show that we do have the access to him. We don't have to go through a man, but we go through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities." Again, I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord understands. I'm glad the Lord understands everything that happens in my life. I'm glad he understands everything that goes on. He knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. He knows everything about you. The fact that he loves us that much, that he wants us to come to him and cast our cares upon him. And what a wonderful truth. In fact, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5. As we think about coming before the throne of grace, coming boldly before God, and being able to cast our cares upon him, as the Bible says in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." What a wonderful truth that God cares for us, and we can be thankful the fact that you and I have that access to the Father, the fact that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for. I mean, I'm almost done, but I mean, these are only basically 10 things that we to be thankful for, but there's many, many other things I know you're thankful for. Again, we think about the life that God's given us. There is plenty to be thankful for. Let's never find ourselves in the wilderness complaining like the Israelites. Even if God leads us, because who led the Israelites into the wilderness? It was God. He led them out of Egypt into the wilderness because the Bible says that 3 days into the wilderness, the people were complaining to Moses that God brought them out there to kill them. No, God brought them out into the wilderness to try to get Egypt out of their heart, try to get the world out of their heart and help them to establish a relationship with the Lord. Again, there's times where God does bring us into a wilderness so that we can spend some quality time with him, because that's how much he cares about us. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a few more verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in regards to the letter N in the word thanks, which would be for newness of life. We have salvation through Jesus Christ, and because we have salvation, we have the newness of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Go to verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The fact that we do have a new life. The lie of the devil is, well, you know, this is just who I am. Well, you know, this is my heritage. I mean, one thing I heard growing up sometimes was, you know what, well, we're Irish, so that's why we have an anger problem. And I kind of bought into that. So, you know what, when I was angry, well, you know, that's just thinking, I don't see anybody in my family that's Irish, but it must be way down the line. But, you know, many people bought into that. You know, that is an excuse. Well, we're Irish, so, you know, we're just angry people. No, it's called sin. We're sinners. When you look at the Old Testament, when you go to Genesis, and you look at the reason why God destroyed mankind off the earth and only 8 souls were saved, it's not because they were Irish. It's not because they were any nationality. The Bible says, God says, that the imagination of their heart was wicked continually. So, I mean, think about the fact that he's given us a new life. We're new creatures in Christ. Now, we are new creatures in Christ, and guess what? That old sin wants to take hold again. That old sin wants to be in control. That sin that once was our life wants to be in control again. The devil once had us in his clutches, had us chained and bound for hell. But since Jesus set us free and redeemed us, and we are the children of light, we're the children of God, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, the fact that we're new creatures in Christ, and even as, you know what, look at Galatians chapter 2 real quick. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, as Paul puts it, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We're new creatures in Christ, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ who lives this new life for us. But the fact is, we're not bound by the sin anymore. The sin wants to reign again. The sin wants to control again. But we have to resist the devil. We have to resist the temptation. We have to draw nigh unto the Lord, because he's given us a new life. He's broken those chains. So we no longer have an excuse. Before, we had, I say we as in the unsaved. When we once were unsaved and were lost, you could say we could have an excuse that, well, you know, I'm a sinner. That's sin. But once Christ came into your life and into my life and every born-again believer's life, there's no more excuse for what we do. There's no more excuse for the sin that we commit. He's given us a new life, the newness of life. We can't say, well, that person pushed my button. And that person pushed me over the edge. That person said something, did something they shouldn't have done. No, we're new creatures in Christ, so we have a new nature. We have a new mind. We have the mind of Christ. We have the grace of God moving in our life, working in our life, helping us to show grace to others as well. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walking in newness of life. He's given us a new life to walk in. That doesn't mean that there's no difficulties. It just means that we have a new life to walk in now. The fact is, we're not bound by the old sin. The fact that we have a Savior now who walks with us, who gives us the victories, that helps us as we go through the valleys. And when he leads us into the valley, he'll lead us through the valley. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1 in regards to knowledge for the letter K. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 1 and 2. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We can be thankful that we have the knowledge of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The fact is that you and I are, since the day of salvation, we have been getting more and more acquainted with the Lord. We've been getting to know the Lord more and more and more. Because Paul had mentioned that he wanted to know more of Christ. He wanted to know more. He counted everything that he had gained in this world as dung. Because he wanted to know Christ more. He wanted to get closer to the Lord. In fact, he said he wanted to know the sufferings of Christ in order to get closer to the Lord. Because again, unfortunately, when there is suffering in our life, then there's the grace of God. We learn the grace of God. We learn the mercy of God. We learn the love of God. The fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing in this world. Getting to know God, it's not, again, I'm glad that I know the Lord and you know the Lord more than just, as some people would say, the big man upstairs. Oh, I know there's big man upstairs. Well, I know there's a higher power. No, I'm glad I know the Lord personally. I'm glad he knows me by name. In fact, you know what? Go back to John 10:10. In John 10 and verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The other sheep, he's talking about you. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about those that would believe on him after his resurrection, after his death, after his burial, and after his resurrection. The fact is that you and I, we do know the voice of God. Again, like I said early on, it would be nice to hear God's audible voice. I mean, you read through Scripture. Moses heard the voice of God. Noah heard the voice of God. You think about Paul on the road to Damascus. He heard the voice of God. It would be a wonderful thing to hear the audible voice. One day we will. But I'm glad that I do, because he's given you and I spiritual ears that we can hear that soft, still voice behind us. You know, that's why it's important as God's people, as born-again believers, as Christians, that we don't allow anything to come between us and our Savior. That we don't quench the Holy Spirit. That we don't regard iniquity in our heart. That we make sure that, you know what? Yes, we're sinners saved by grace. Our sins have been paid for. But as 1 John 1:9 tells us, I mean, if we didn't have to still confess sin, I don't think God would have had John write 1 John 1:9. Look at 1 John 1:9. First John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, I'm glad that he hears us. I'm glad that we call out to him with a repentant heart and ask, Lord, forgive me for getting upset that person. Forgive me for having the wrong attitude. Forgive me for whatever. I'm glad that he hears us. And I'm glad that we can hear him when he does remind us that he forgives us and he reminds us that he still loves us because he's always working on us. That's the last letter, S, in thanks. Give thanks. Sanctification. We've been sanctified because of Jesus Christ, but then there's a sanctification process that's still ongoing. God's still doing a work in us. God's still transforming us more into the image of Christ. We're not there yet. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. In Philippians 1:6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God is working on us. Again, I'm glad when God finds a flaw, and he does all the time, that he doesn't like cast us aside and say, well, that's not a perfect vessel. I'm glad that we're vessels that he's working on. We're vessels that he is purifying. We're vessels that he is using, that he's pouring his Holy Spirit into as we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that we can be used by him, so we can accomplish things for him. So just several things that we can be thankful for tonight and every day of our life is the fact that God's given us a new life through Jesus Christ, and he's helping us in this new life, and he is working on us and through us. Again, in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There is so many benefits in the new life through Jesus Christ. There's so many benefits that we have already experienced and so much more. And we can be so thankful for that. You know what? The Lord didn't pass us by. You can be thankful the Lord didn't pass you by when you called upon his name. They didn't look at you or me and say, well, I know who you are and I'm going to pass you by. I'm glad he didn't pass by like the Levite passed by the man that was beaten and left for dead, or the priest that walked by. I'm glad that Jesus is that good Samaritan. He's the one that walked by and saw us where we were at and took care of us, healed our wounds. And he continues to heal wounds. He continues to work in our life. And we can be so thankful that, you know what? We have a relationship with the God of heaven. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like every day, he waits for us to call on him. He waits for us to walk with him. He waits for us to open up his word and to read it. We have a lot to be thankful for, and never, I know you won't, but never forget that. Everything you have is something to be thankful for. Whether you have a job, whether you have a home, everything is worth thanking the Lord for, because every good gift comes down from the Father of lights.